Good evening.
Good evening.
I'd just like to start by thanking everyone for the warm welcome that you have given my wife and I here. We are so appreciative of the love that you guys have shown us and taking us in to be a part of your family here. We just really appreciate that. Tonight, I would like you to imagine. I'd like you to imagine that you are in the process of looking for a job. And in the process of looking for a job, you have received two very different job offers. On the one hand, we have job A. Now, job A offers great salary and benefits. But when you look at the manager at this establishment, you see that he's not the nicest, he's not the most honest guy, but he also doesn't expect you to work very hard. You can kind of just do whatever you want. You can get away with about anything. When you see the coworkers, the people who work at this place, you see that they're not exactly nice to each other. They may argue and bicker, but in the end, they just kind of do their own thing. They're just kind of off by themselves and do whatever. Then when you ask this manager what he can offer you in respects to retirement, he just says, well, don't worry about that. We'll talk about that when we get there. Then on the other hand, you have job B. Now, the salary and benefits that job B can offer you are really just what you need to get by. You're not going to be able to have the nice car, the nice house, but you're going to be able to survive. You're going to have the things that you need. The boss, he's very strict. He expects you to work very hard, but he's a caring man. He's someone who's honest, someone who's just, someone who has integrity. He expects you to work very hard, and not only that, but he expects you to recruit others. He wants you to go out and convince other people to work for him. You look at the people working at this job, you see they're like family. They love each other, they help each other, they support each other. You ask the boss about retirement, and he says that he's going to take care of you well. And you believe him because he's an honest man, you can tell. Now in this scenario, we'll say that you decide to opt for job B, but you have a friend who takes job A. Now your friend, he's always having fun. He has all the nice things, he has plenty of money, he's hardly ever working, he doesn't have a care in the world. Meanwhile, you're over here working hard just to get by, but you feel fulfilled because you know that you're doing something important and worthwhile. Then comes the time for you both to retire. Your friend goes into his boss and gets fired. He's left with absolutely nothing. He loses his house, he loses his cars, he loses everything. He has no idea how he's going to get by day to day. Meanwhile, you go in to talk to your boss, who lays out a retirement package beyond your wildest dreams. You will be well taken care of for the rest of your natural life. You'll have everything you need and more. This situation is merely a parallel for another choice that we have to make today. We have a choice that is similar, but is much more important. We are faced with the decision of not who to work for, but who we are going to live our lives for. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15. The Bible reads, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here Joshua is speaking to the people of Israel. He is telling them, choose you this day. You have this choice. You can serve these idols or you can serve God. And this choice that they had is the same choice that we have today. So there are just a few things that I would like to look at tonight and in reference to this passage and the choice that we have. The first point that we see is that we must choose. You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision one way or the other. You cannot be neutral in this situation. You cannot straddle the fence. Look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Here Jesus says, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." So here Jesus makes it clear there is two choices. You are either with me or you are against me. There is nothing in the middle. There is no third option. There are only two choices. We can be with Jesus or we can be against Jesus. Some people think that when faced with this choice, they cannot choose. They can just sit back and not make a choice either way. They can put it off at a later date. But by not choosing, you are choosing Satan. By saying, I'm not going to make a choice, you are choosing to serve Satan. You are choosing to be against Jesus. We also must realize that we cannot serve both. It is not possible for us to choose both of them. We have to make a choice, one or the other. Look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Here Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here the word mammon is talking about the world. It's talking about the things of the world, idols. You have God or you have idols. You have to choose one or the other. You cannot serve both. We must keep this in mind. We also see that this choice that we have to make, it's made by us. It's not made by anyone else. No one can choose for you. You have to choose. Every single one of us must make this choice as an individual. Man was created as a free moral agent. This is the way that God designed us. And that phrase simply means that we make our own choices. God created us with the ability to choose. Look in the book of Genesis, chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Here we see instructions that God gave to Adam, to the first man on the earth, in verses 16 and 17. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave this commandment. He said to Adam, you can have whatever you want, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You are not to partake of it. Now, if man did not have a choice, if man was not capable of making choices, then God would not have had to give this commandment. He gave this commandment because man has the choice. He did not make us into robots that go around doing his will. We have a choice. Also look in Psalm 119. In verse 30, Psalm 119 and verse 30. Here we have just another proof that we are capable of making choices. Psalm 119 and verse 30. Here the psalmist says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Now, the writer could not have written this statement by inspiration if he was not capable of making a choice. He says, I have chosen. Just like he was able to make a choice, all of us today can make choices. That is the way that we are created by God. We also must realize that this choice can't be made by anyone else. It's only made by us alone. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and verse 10. And the Bible reads, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here we see that all of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us are going to be judged. And you notice that we are going to be judged based on what we have done. I'm not going to be judged on what anyone else has done. You are not going to be judged on what I have done or what anyone else has done. We are going to be judged based on what we have done, based on the choices that we have made as individuals. This is the way that God created us. The second thing that we see here in this passage in Joshua, this passage about choice, we see that we must choose now. There is this sense of urgency that Joshua conveys in this passage. The words he says, Joshua said, choose you this day. Joshua did not say, choose you tomorrow, or next week, or whenever you get around to it. Whenever you feel like it, then you can decide. That's not what he said. Joshua said, you have these two options. Choose this day. Choose now. We cannot delay this choice. We cannot put it off until later. We must make it now. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day. Now is the time for you to decide. All of us must make this decision, and we must make it now. It must be immediate. Also look in James chapter 4. Book of James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. This passage really puts into perspective what our life is. James chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And the Bible reads, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Here, James compares our life to a vapor. Imagine a pot of boiling water. As the steam rolls off of that boiling water, it's there for a short time and then is gone. That is what our life is. It's here and then it's not. It's gone before we know it. We don't know if we're going to have tomorrow to make this choice. That's why it's so important that we make it now. The sense of urgency that Joshua conveys shows the importance of this decision. We looked at earlier the hypothetical situation of a job, talking about retirement. Many people spend their whole lives working towards retirement. We're talking about something that is 20 or 30 years or maybe longer if we're lucky. People spend their whole lives working toward that and that alone. So how much more important is our eternity, our eternal destination? Why would we spend our whole lives worrying about 20 or 30 years and not even think about eternity? As humans, as beings with finite minds, it's very difficult for us to understand the concept of eternity. I don't think there's any way we can truly wrap our minds around that. But we need to realize that we do not want to spend it in punishment, in agony, in pain, separated from God. That is not what we should want after we die. We know that all of us are going to be judged. We're going to be judged based on this decision that we make. It shows the importance of it. Look in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Here the writer says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Here the writer, according to the writer, the judgment is just as sure as death. We know that all of us are going to die if Christ does not come back first. We will die. It's an inevitability. We cannot escape that fact. And just like we can't escape that fact, we cannot escape the fact that we are going to be judged based on our decisions, based on our actions. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. We looked at this earlier. Here Paul wrote, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here it says we will all appear before the judgment seat. It's just as sure as death. It's an absolute fact. All of us will face the judgment. And when we face this judgment, we are going to be judged based on what we have done. We are going to be judged based on this decision, whether we chose God or Satan. Also look in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. Here Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." We're going to have to give an account of the things we've said, the choices we have made. We are going to be judged. We are not going to escape it, that is for sure. So with this in mind, we have to look at what are the results. Earlier we looked at the retirement plans that each of those individuals received at the different jobs and what the outcome was. So in light of this decision that we must make, the decision that we must make ourselves, that we must make now, what are the results? What is going to happen based on what we choose? So my friends, if we choose Satan, if we choose not to serve God, if we choose to be against Jesus, it is not a happy outcome. We are going to hear the words that are recorded in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. Here Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" Jesus is going to tell us, "Depart from me. I don't want you. Go away. I never knew you." How sad is that? Surely that is not what we want to hear. After this point, we know that we are going to be cast into hell. Look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 through 50. Here Jesus said, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This description here of hell, the pain that we will suffer if we go to hell. There we are going to be punished. We are going to be punished and we are going to be separated from God for all eternity. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible reads, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." So if we choose Satan, we are going to be punished. And this punishment is going to last forever. It is never going to end. And not only that, but we will be away from God. We will be separated from God for all eternity. And here in hell, if we make this decision, we are going to face destruction and suffering for all eternity. Look in the book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 7. Jude, verse 7. It says, "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." Most of us are familiar with the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. We know that they were destroyed from the face of the earth. They were obliterated by God. This is just an example. This is just a small taste of hell. It is so much worse than that. And that's bad enough. Surely this is not what we want. Surely this is not what we want for our eternal destination. So in light of that, we have to look at what are the results if we choose to serve God. This is the choice that I urge you all to make. We all need to serve God. But what awaits us if we do that? Well, if we are faithful to God, these are the words that we are going to hear on the judgment. They're found in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21. Here Jesus said, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." How wonderful is that? To think that if we are faithful, Jesus will tell us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy. Enter into my rest because you are faithful." Then we will get to enjoy the wonders of heaven. Turn in the same chapter to verse 46. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46. Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Just as hell is compared to as eternal death, on the opposite coin we have heaven that is eternal life, eternal joy. That is what we can have if we choose to serve God. We will be in heaven, heaven that is a place that was prepared for us by Jesus. We find that in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Here Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Just think of that. If we are faithful, we will get to spend eternity with Jesus. I have often thought about what it would have been like to have been on the earth when Jesus was here, to have heard the things that Jesus had to say, to see the things that Jesus did. How wonderful that would have been. But my friends, it's going to be so much better when we get to spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. We'll be with him forever in the place that he has prepared specifically for us if we are faithful. This is a place that is better than anything we can imagine. We have scriptures in the Bible that talk about heaven, that put it in a way that we can understand the magnificence and glory. But it's going to be so much better than even that. But look in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Here we get one of those tastes of what heaven is going to be like. The glory, the wonder of heaven. Revelation 21 and verse 4. The Bible reads, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Think about that. All the awful things on this earth, all the pain, all the suffering, all the death, the tears, the sorrow, it's all going to be gone. It's not going to be in heaven. We are going to be free from all of those horrible things for the rest of eternity. The choice is ours. Every single one of us has this choice. We can choose to serve God or we can choose to serve Satan. But as we looked at, we see what the results of that choice is. Will we, like Joshua, make the choice to serve the Lord? Be steadfast in that choice. Be obedient to God. Live the rest of our lives for him. Or will we, like the Israelites did so many times, or like so many people of the world, will we choose idols? Will we choose to be against Jesus? Will we choose to serve Satan? Tonight, I would just ask that you would please consider your eternal destination. Please consider what awaits you. Make the right choice. Tonight, there may be some of you here who have not decided to serve God, who have not put on Christ in baptism and become a member of his church. You have that choice tonight. You can make the choice to serve God. We will gladly assist you in that choice. I urge you to make that choice to serve God. Or perhaps there are some of you who have made that choice in the past, who have said that they are going to serve God with all of their might and with all of their life. But perhaps you have fallen short. Perhaps you have fallen by the wayside. You've struggled and been beaten down by the things in life. You can make that right. You can once again say, I am going to serve God. I am going to do what He wants. You can make that choice tonight. If you have any need, whatever it may be, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.